the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you're here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We are contemplating the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to learn from you, Lord, trying to look at those traits of your life, of your character, to learn from them, to imitate them, to be more like you. We consider that prayer, which is characteristic of the life of our Lord, and maybe even more characteristic than his prayer, we can say is his mission. His preaching, his apostolate. That is what defines his public life. Those 3 years are going to be a non-stop spreading of the good news, of the message. I have come to bring fire to the world, he will say. And what do I want for it, but for it to ignite, to spread to all the world? And you, Lord, will spend those 3 years going from one town to another, preaching to men and women, old and young, Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles, everyone is there to hear his word, his teachings, the good news. The fulfillment of the promises in the Old Testament. The new covenant. And Lord is very clear in his mission that he will not rest until it is accomplished. Sometimes the gospel tells us he doesn't even have time to eat or to sleep. We see you, Lord, tired, sleeping on the boat in the middle of a storm. How tired must you have been to be able to sleep during such a terrible storm? And we see you thirsty, asking for water to that woman, the Samaritan woman in the well. But then your thirst for souls is even stronger. And you forget about your thirst and your hunger. Trying to help that woman, trying to help all those people who were seeking for God. Our Lord is very clear. But surprisingly, he doesn't do this on his own. He could have. He really didn't need anyone's help. He's God himself. He could have easily just revealed himself to everyone there and travel throughout the whole world and make his message present to everyone there. But again, he respects, wants to respect the freedom that he has given to each one of us. And he wants to make us participate in that mission somehow. And he goes around choosing people that can help him. Disciples that can follow. That can go to all the corners of the world to bring this message of salvation. And he chooses Simon and his brother Andrew and James and John and Matthew, and he calls them, follow me and I will make of you fishers of men. He forms them and then he sends them off with that same mission that he had brought him himself. Go to all the world and preach the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those men and women that follow Christ, those men and women that receive that mission from Christ, they help him in the distribution of the bread and the fish that have been multiplied by Christ. They baptize, they expel demons, they heal the sick. And once Christ leaves and goes up to heaven, leaves that mission with them. What a job will the apostles do? With the help of the Holy Spirit, with God's presence amongst them, they will truly go to all the world. And we will see their dedication. They're going from one place to another, transmitting that message. Those teachings, preserving, calling from God. But of course, those apostles could not go everywhere. They transmitted their message to others who followed and learned and went to other cities and towns. And eventually that message spread like fire. If you've been following the news, you've probably seen those unfortunate fires that happen very often in California and other parts of the country, and how they spread. How those flames, hard to stop. With the wind, and the dry leaves and trees spread like crazy. That is the way the gospel spread. The men, women, old, young, of all races, colors, languages. And that message went from one continent to another. That mission transmitted from one man to another, from one woman to another, go to all the world and preach the good news. If we are here in Schulenburg, Texas, talking to you, Lord, it's because someone was faithful to that calling. Because someone took that message seriously, that mission, to go to all the world and spread that good news. But that message has to continue. 2,000 years have gone by, and still so many people out there live as if Christ had never come. So many people out there still don't know the good news, or have a distorted idea of what that message is. You and I are being called by God to continue that mission. You and I are being called by Christ by our name. He's pointing at us as he was pointing at St. Matthew. Follow me. And I will make of you a fisher of men. Take this message, learn it, live it, and spread it to all those around you, in your environment, in your town, amongst your family and friends, in your workplace, your neighbors. This calling from God is not just for ourselves. We've been lucky, yes. We've been blessed to receive a good formation, maybe from our parents, from school, to have learned the good news, maybe from a friend. But we can't just stay there comfortably, enjoying my good star, enjoying that joy that comes from being with you, Lord, from knowing you, from living a Christian life, being faithful. It's not enough. We need to spread that message. We need to let everyone know. Opening the eyes of the blind. Go out to all the world. What am I doing, Lord, to bring others closer to you? What am I doing, Lord, to give witness of what I have learned? your gospel, your message, your light, your salt. Am I truly being the salt of the earth, the light of the world? Maybe I'm not. Why? What needs to change in our lives? Maybe I need fresh batteries. A flashlight that has no battery doesn't seem much help, right? When it's dark, doesn't really give much light. Do we charge our batteries? Are we doing it now in retreat? Getting to know you, Lord, better? Getting to know your message? Making it part of our lives? Trying to live it ourselves better? To be light, to be salt. First apostolate, to be ourselves better Christians. Preaching through example, that sometimes, or many times, is the best apostolate. The example. Christian life, well lived. Then we can say prayer and mortification for those around us. Because in the end, the apostolate is done by Christ. It's not so much about our power of persuasion, about our capacity to give amazing speeches or to win every single argument, to know perfect apologetics and bring arguments to every person, every single thing, and winning every debate. That's not going to convert people. We might win a few debates, we might win an argument, but that doesn't really change people's lives. Prayer does. Mortification does. When they would ask Echo Samaria, what do we need to do to do more apostles, to reach out to more people? He would invariably answer, prayer. Then mortification. And then in the third place, action. Lord, am I praying for my friends? Am I praying for my family, for my kids? Am I offering up mortifications for them, sacrifices? To bring them closer to you? Am I being a good example? And then action. Talking to those around us, having good arguments, which is helpful. That's why we need formation, to be able to transmit those ideas, give reasons to our faith, to our practices. But action can mean many things. I remember when I was a young priest, newly ordained, I spent 2 months in Madrid, Spain. Beautiful city. Great people. But they they've kind of seen everything in Madrid, right? Spaniards are very outspoken, right? And either way, it seems like everyone is like extremely Catholic or extremely anti-Catholic somehow. Spaniards, right? Just passionate people. And they've been through all kinds of things, right? Civil wars. And I remember getting in the subway. And one of these times I was in the subway, packed subway, one of these, I guess like an evangelical Protestant, walked in and started preaching. God loves you, right? God will save you. Have faith in God. And people were kind of looking at me, kind of like saying, you know, say something. I kind of like, I don't know what they expected me to do. I kind of believe in God, I don't know. I don't know how effective that is, right? I mean, hopefully it helps someone, and hopefully someone kind of like awakened by that message and feels that love of God, but I don't know, it doesn't seem that effective to me. What St. José María would always recommend was the apostolate of friendship. Friendship and confidence, he would say. We all listen to a friend. We all open up to a friend, a good friend, that is willing to listen to us. And we ask for advice to a friend. There can't be many times the most effective of all apostolates. Amongst your co-workers, colleagues, with your children, with your wife, with your siblings. People many times will ask me, what can I do for my brother? How do I help him? What can I say to him? Don't say anything, most of the time, especially to a brother or sister. I mean, or a mom and dad, even worse. Like, listen, try. So many times, just don't say anything. Be his friend, be her friend. Be there for them. Eventually, they will see your life as a Christian. They will see your witness as someone that is trying to live a good life. And they will open up to you. They will ask you. And they will listen. Actually, many times we don't need to say anything for them to understand. If they're really our friends, if we love them, they will read between the lines. This happens. It is effective. Remember one time the brother of Jose when I was in Rome, Don Javier, passed away. He would tell this story of this lady, supernumerary, older supernumerary. She was writing to the prelate, which is like a custom in the work to write to the prelate, the father. And she told him this story, and he would tell us. He didn't give us her name or anything. We didn't know where she was from. But a very funny story of this lady that was getting older, and she was getting become a little bit deaf. And so she went to confession in the parish, and got into the confessional, made her confession. And after a few minutes, she kind of realized that there was no priest on the other side. So she's like, okay, that's embarrassing. And she walked out of the confessional, kind of just laughing it off, like, oh my gosh, I'm really deaf. The next day she comes back to the parish for mass. There's this young woman waiting for her outside. to thank her. And she starts thanking her. It's like, I don't even know you. And this young girl says, yes, I know, but yesterday I was having a really hard time. I had left my faith many years ago, and I was looking for an answer, and I walked into the church, and I was praying, and I see you walking out of the confessional with such a smile on your face. That I thought, that's what I need, a confession. And today I finally went to confession, changed my life, and I wanted to thank you. All right. Holy Spirit working through this lady's limitations, right? And cheerfulness. Personal anecdote, right? A friend of mine, high school, was already a numerary, right? In the work. Well, 17, 18. And every day of like was a school of the work, and every day there was mass. And silent reading time, and I would every day get up and go to Mass. I was the only one in my class. I would go to Mass every single day. And they would make fun of me, right, a little bit, like Catholic school, and like the guy making fun of me, because I wouldn't go to parties, right, I wouldn't like do crazy stuff they would do. And there was this one guy who was especially crazy and especially would make fun of me, and I would just pray for him and be a good friend and just... And many years after, I was already a priest and I came back to Santiago after many years of being out. And this guy called me and said, hey, I need to talk to you. And he thanked me. Every time he told me, you would stand up to go to Mass. I knew you were right. And that's helped me all these years. Wow. I haven't done anything, right? I was, well, just going to Mass, being friendly. Of course, other people need us to talk to them, to say them something, to bring them to a circle, or recollection, or retreat, bring them to Mass, to confession. People need us. Society needs us. We're seeing these crises, right, in the church, in society. St. Jose Maria would say already, these crises are not new in the church or in society anywhere. It's been happening since day one, right? And our father would say that. These crises are crises of saints. The church needs saints. The United States needs saints. Your friends need apostles. They need you to be a good Christian, to be a good friend, to bring them closer to God. Oh Lord, give us your grace so that we can be those apostles for our friends, for our families, for our loved ones. Give us your grace. And guide us like you guided your apostles and your saints to bring so many others closer to God. Let us ask Our Lady, the Queen of all apostolates, help us, Virgin Mary, and guide our apostolates so that we can be effective in bringing so many more closer to your Son. Thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.